You're listening to Off the Cuff. Now, here's your host, Adam Banks.
You're running for your life. You're a shooting star in all the years.
UConn has ended all debates and has solidified themselves as a blue blood program because they are once again, for the sixth time, national champions. Welcome, everyone, to the March Madness series presented by Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. I, of course, am Adam Banks, and I have with me the OTC Sports Panel, Chad Rainwater and Jordan Knatzer. This is the post-championship show, the last show of the March Madness series. Guys, how are you doing? Jordan, good to see you once again.
Man, I'm doing great. You know, it's a sad day that this is the last show that we're going to do for the year. You know, this is, I always look forward to it every year, but I think this is going to be the most exciting show we've probably ever done. You know, UConn national championships, but more importantly, being a Kentucky homer, John Calipari's out. So,
yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Chad, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. And I feel like every time we do these shows, the last show specifically, after, you know, we're down, it's, you know, like Jordan says, being Kentucky fans, we're down. Someone else has won a national title. It's always freaking raining. And here we are again. Rain outside has been a nasty. It's been nasty all day. But I'm good other than that, man. Can't complain. Like Jordan said, I'm sad that it's the last show. But I think we'll have a good time.
We are broadcasting from my home off of Barley's Pass, hence why the audio doesn't sound so professional. But nonetheless, we still are coming at you live here at the WLXU 93.9 FM. I want to start off by talking about the Off the Cuff Bracket Challenge. Congratulations to the winner, Chongo Noakes, who had one hell of a bracket. He picked UConn to win it all. Chad, you were right in the top five of the finishers there, and you had UK winning it all. That just means you had a great bracket, but not good enough. Congratulations to Chongo. Your $25 free Amazon gift card is on its way. I finished a solid 35 out of 49 people. Chad, where did you end up on the list?
I checked in the weekend, and I was tied for first in the off-cuff bracket challenge. I ended up finishing 13th. I guess 12 people ahead of me had UConn winning. So I was just there for blanks and giggles, I guess. But, yeah, it was nice while it lasted. I knew I wasn't going to win, but it was just a little teaser.
Jordan, where did you end up finishing in the bracket challenge?
I think I finished like 130th, so I had a terrible bracket this year. You know, I had too much faith in Kentucky. It just didn't work out for me this year, so I apologize, but, you know, my insight on the NCAA tournament just wasn't as good this year as it usually is.
Well, you touched on it a little bit at the top of the hour, Jordan. You broke it there. I guess it's not really broken at this point. The whole world in college basketball knows now that John Calipari has left Kentucky as the head men's basketball coach. He arrived in Arkansas earlier today. He is now the men's basketball coach at Arkansas. The announcement broke on Sunday night. Rumors started swirling if he was leaving. Jordan, when you first heard the rumors on X and circling around social media, what was your first thoughts? Because this isn't the first time rumors like this have circulated about our coach.
You know, it was kind of mind-blowing at first, just to, you know, the mindset that he's going to leave Kentucky just out of nowhere on a Sunday night and go to Arkansas. But it, like you said, it's also, you know, this has happened before, you know, the UCLA job. There's been several other jobs. There was words that he was thinking about going to USC, but, you know, it spiked very quick, and it started getting reported by everybody really quick. So you started to realize this might actually be real, and then before the night was over, you knew. I mean, it was almost a done deal. Everything was done, but it was, you know, but the contract being signed, so it's time for a new day and a new age in Kentucky.
And, Chad, I'm very interested to hear what you thought when it became official that John Calipari is leaving Kentucky, once he posted his video announcing that he was leaving, because you've been very vocal on social media, not so much of the March Madness series, but you've been pretty vocal about Calipari not being the guy here anymore. What did you think when it became official that Calipari is no longer the coach at Kentucky?
You know, it's really weird right now. Despite how I've been towards Cal these past few years, it feels like I'm honestly a little sad. You know, I'm not sad. I'm not upset that he's leaving. I'm okay with that. You know, I was okay 2 weeks ago when he said he was coming back for another year. I was fine with him coming back, and you know, I made a post about him. And I said, you know, this is not what I expected, but I'll cheer the Cats, you know, harder than ever next year. You know, I was still behind him, but when I saw the video earlier today of him coming in and wearing red, it's surreal, and it still hasn't hit me yet, and I'm sure it won't hit all of us until basketball season actually starts. But for, you know, 15 years, that's a long time. And, you know, I was still a youngster. All of us were still young and didn't have gray hair when he first got here. Some of us had hair when he got here.
Nice. Nice.
No, I'm just.
How do you think he'll do at Arkansas?
I think Calipari, he's gonna do the same thing. You know, he's gonna bring in his recruiting classes. He's gonna get these good young freshman players. He, you know, I think he's finally starting to realize he has to bring in some older talent now through the transfer portal. I think Calipari will do just fine at Arkansas. He's gonna have a top 25 type team. I would say for the rest of the time for his next 5 years at Arkansas. You know, it just, can he get that energy back that he had in his early days of Kentucky to be able to really just ignite the fan base and actually take his team past the first weekend of March? And, you know, good luck to Arkansas with that. He couldn't do it here anymore. And I think it was the right move for him to leave. I don't know about him going to Arkansas across the conference, but hey, good luck coming into Rupp next year, Cal. It's going to be very interesting for the fan base to see how we take him back and stuff like that. But he definitely made it a lot of fun choosing that specific school.
Right. Yeah. That specific school, Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, that's what got me is you're going to a, you know, not a rival to UK, but back in the 90s, I feel like UK and Arkansas is a pretty big rival. But for him to have to come into Rupp next season, that's going to be crazy. Tickets are going to be super expensive. I just hope and pray that he doesn't come in and beat us. Like, how bad would that be if he comes in and just runs us off the court?
It'd be bad.
That would be bad. But like Jordan said, I think he'll be fine. And that's it. Fine. You know, I was listening to John Wall's podcast earlier, and John Wall even said that he doesn't think Coach Cal's going to change his ways at all.
Right.
Like, even despite what has happened the past few years, he's still going to go in and recruit his freshmen. He's not going to get the upperclassmen. He'll have a couple upperclassmen, but he's not going to change his ways. And I think that'll be interesting to look forward to and see how that goes. I don't think we're gonna have to worry about them, you know, making the Final Four next year or anything. I just hope that and it might not be next year, but I just hope that whoever we decide on as a coach, we can be better than Arkansas.
I do think, and this might be a controversial thing to say, I mean, a lot of people might disagree with this, but I think this was an actual good career move by John Calipari to leave Kentucky and go to Arkansas. And the reason I say that is 15 years is a long time to do anything, to be at a place, to do a job. And he did it well, not his whole tenure, but he did do it well. I do think this is a good career move for him because at his age, he still has a great 5-10 years left in him. He's not going to change his philosophy like everybody's been saying, and that is getting players to the NBA, making players rich, changing lives. That's what he does, so be it. He needs to find a place where he can go and do what he does best. And I think Arkansas is a great fit for that. I think they'll like that. I think they'll enjoy Cal. They're excited. I don't know if you guys have seen their fans. They're excited to have him. I think this is what not only the fan base maybe needed, but this is what Calipari needed too in his career. He needed a jolt to get right back into being Calipari, and he just wasn't. Kentucky fans, he lost the fan base. I think it's a good career move.
I mean, I agree. I think he was due for the move, but, and like I said, you know, who am I to tell someone where to move and what job to take? But, you know, I think it would have hit home a lot easier with the Kentucky fan base if John Calipari would have taken, you know, the USC job or a job out of conference, you know. But I understand there's also, you know, there's one other job right now outside of Kentucky that's a top five or a power five school that's actually open. So there wasn't many places to go. It's the hurt of seeing Calipari to Arkansas. It doesn't hit as hard as the Rick Pitino to Louisville, you know, after his Celtics tenure, but it still hurts to see, you know, the person that he rejuvenated Kentucky basketball. And, you know, I know it's been, in the earlier shows of the March Madness series, I've said, you know, I think Cal's time is over. But it's, you know, he's always going to be, you know, the Kentucky basketball coach in Lexington. You know, people are going to still love John Calipari. It's just, I hate the fact, you know, I hope he doesn't ruin it anymore by going there and just, you know, continuously going at the Kentucky program and stuff like that. So, don't do anything now at this point to just lose the fan base completely, because we still want Calipari back.
No, and you can tell there is kind of a somberness in Lexington. I think it's a relationship has ended. People are upset. I don't think people are wanting him back. They are just upset reflecting on the memories.
Well, not like wanting him back for, like, you know, to be the coach again. But we want to accept him back, you know. Just we want to be able to bring him back and, yes. And, you know, maybe put his name up in the rafters.
Absolutely. He deserves to be up there.
And he does.
He does. He does. He's one of the best coaches in Kentucky basketball history. Did you all see Ellen Calipari's goodbye video?
That was pretty emotional as well. That one got me. I watched that. I mean, that came after a couple hours after the Cal video. But yeah, Ellen's was pretty emotional, and you can tell she was getting pretty emotional as well, and she was choking up a little bit. But yeah, that was really tough to watch.
Yeah, it's hard for the whole family. It's hard for her. She's been here with Cal too. A lot of people loved her. I'm going to miss seeing her tweets. This reporter, Peter Bethel, is that his name? The guy who broke the story?
Thamel.
Pete Thamel. Let's go back to when the story first broke, because I have to bring this up. What did you all think of when people were still trying to figure out, is Calipari leaving? What's going on? When WKYT ended up running into him, walking his dog with the stroller. I love how that video is now the new Alan Cutler chase video.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was really strange. And like you said, it's going to be this generation's, you know, Billy Gillespie, Alan Cutler video. And I think it was really poetic at the end how he was just filming him, like, just walking off with his dog.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys paid attention to that, but he just filmed him for an extra, like, 20, 30 seconds, and he was just walking away. But that was really tough to watch, because, like, his question was, do you have anything to say to the fans? And he was just like, no, I don't. And that was really strange. I mean, because he's still at that time our coach.
Yeah.
And I mean, I understand. And also, like, why was he walking on Richmond Road knowing at that time that there was reporters just across the street? Like, I don't know if that was something. I mean, it's obviously intentional for him to do, but, like, you just got to ask the question, like, why did he want to do that for?
So the next big question is, because there is a big job opening now in the world of college basketball, and that is the head coaching position at the University of Kentucky. And we're going to talk about who we each think should be the replacement and the new head man at the rim of that job. And we'll talk about that in our next segment. Stick with us, folks. You are listening to Off the Cuff with Adam Banks presents the March Madness Series post-championship show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff with Adam Banks presents the March Madness Series post-championship show. The UConn Huskies are the 2024 national champions, and we haven't talked about the game yet, which we will get to eventually, I promise, but there's just so much happening in the world of college basketball, and the biggest story is not the Huskies winning the championship. It is the fact that the coaching carousel is spinning like crazy. John Calipari has left Kentucky. He is now the head coach at Arkansas, which means there is a vacancy at the University of Kentucky. It's not been open in 15 years. Let me just say this. I love college basketball. One of the biggest reasons I love college basketball is the coaches. The coaches make the game better. The personality, the charisma, the storylines, the drama, everything about that just makes the sport better. I love following a good coaching search. I haven't got to feel what it's like to experience it. I'm at my own program in basketball in 15 years. I'm excited. Yes, I'm a little bummed out that Cal's left, but you know what? It is what it is. He's gone. I'm excited now. So there is an opening, and I want to get to every single person of who they think should be the next Kentucky basketball coach. And Jordan, I'm going to start with you. I want to hear your top three. You can give your aspirational answers as well as your realistic answers, but I want a top three in order. Who are you picking up the phone first and calling if you're the AD at Kentucky?
I mean, if I'm the AD at Kentucky, you know, I'm not going to – I think there is a pretty set in stone top three of who Mitch Barnhart wants. You know, if we're just going by my top three – in order, I want Danny Hurley, UConn's head coach, back-to-back national championships. Secondly, I want Brad Stevens. I've always been a big Brad Stevens advocate. You know, I know he's the president of the Celtics basketball operations now, but he did great things in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. He did great things taking the taking Butler to what back-to-back national championship games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's always been a name that I wanted here. And then third, I'm going to go Billy Donovan. He's been out of the college game for 10-ish years now, so, you know, he's been gone for a decade. But, the Florida years, and I just always wanted Billy Donovan to be here in Lexington and come back. You know, he was the assistant coach whenever Rick Pitino was here. But if I had to pick my top three, if I'm the AD at Kentucky, I'm calling those three in that order. And if they don't pick up, then it's time to move to the next list. And, you know, there's still several other coaches I wouldn't mind seeing here. But I think that's that would be my top three best ones that would give us the best chance to go back and go to Final Fours and win championships.
Okay, let's break down each one of your choices, and we'll get to Chad's list. You said the first phone call, if you were the AD, would be to Dan Hurley. I love that. I think that Dan Hurley is one of the best college basketball coaches in the game today. I like his intensity. I don't know. Hey, I mean, he would be such a great personality to have because he is so strange, but he has the winning mentality, and we know that that's what Kentucky fans want. I love that hire in Dan Hurley. Chad, do you?
Oh, absolutely. He was number one on my list as well. I just don't know if that's who we'll be able to get. He has a really good thing, obviously, going at UConn, and I know, as everybody else knows, that money talks. So we'll have to see what kind of offer that UK puts out for him. But he has a great thing going. I think he said earlier today that he's just worried about a three-peat at Connecticut. So, I mean, why? Yeah. I mean, and I've had people ask me, like, at work who aren't Kentucky fans, like, why would he leave UConn to go to Kentucky? And this was on Monday.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what's the biggest story today? I was like, is the biggest story that Cal's leaving and that we're looking for a new coach? And I guess Kentucky in general, UK basketball in general. Or is it the national championship game tonight in UConn possibly going for a back-to-back? But the biggest story was Kentucky and Cal. Like, I hate that the national championship game was kind of overshadowed by that. As a Kentucky fan, it doesn't bother me that bad. But still, like, it's Kentucky basketball we're talking about here. Yeah, we've been down the past few years, and Connecticut's been on the rise the past 25 years. Last night did you guys see where they had the celebration for the national championship in their gym, and like it was like half full?
I didn't.
See, that's the thing, and I saw that picture you're talking about. I mean, the upper part of the arena, it was literally the upper part was half full. And
yeah.
It's just, and that's a smaller gym. I mean, if you come to Kentucky and win a championship, let alone back to back, we're going to pack the streets of Lexington.
Yeah,
Cal had to go on a weekly trip tour across the state.
You're going to have 200,000 people outside of Rupp, not including having Rupp filled to the top.
Yeah, I think UConn could win 20 national championships, and you're still not going to make that state care like Kentucky does about basketball. And that's just how it is, and that's something to think about. And Dan Hurley just seems like a type of guy who wants to be at the top of his game. Kentucky is at the top of his would be at the top of the field being in college basketball. But you made a good point, Chad. He has a chance to chase a three-peat. Has that ever been done? Well, I guess John Wooden did it, didn't he?
I would be lying if I said something, but I want to skip back to Hurley for a second. It's just, you know, you have a program like Kentucky, and if they're willing to back the Brinks truck up to the front door and just unload all this money on them, how often do you get this chance? You know, I understand UConn is they're a blue blood now. They've won 6 national championships. You know, UConn's on the rise, but they still don't have the money. They still don't have the resources. They still don't have the facilities that the Kentuckys have. And how often is the Kentucky job, the North Carolina job, the Duke job, and the Kansas job going to be open? Those are in my opinion, your four bluest of the blue bloods.
Yeah.
How often is that job going to come open? I mean, it's been 15 years.
Yeah, it don't come often open. You got to jump on the train, man, when it's driving by.
That's the thing that I think there could be a chance with Danny Hurley.
Yeah.
Is just this job does not come around. It comes around. You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime.
Once-in-a-lifetime. If you don't get it now, it might not come around again.
You might never catch that train again. So he's my number one. I would love to have him. I just, you know, it's hard to pull a man away from a back-to-back national championships and a school like UConn. So
yeah, it makes me wonder if Mitch Barnhart is a good salesman. I mean, come on, I think it's a no-brainer to come here, but it's all about the salesmanship.
I mean, whatever he wants, if he wants the new facilities that Mitch wouldn't give Cal, I would give Danny Hurley the keys to the backhoe and tell him to start digging and see what you want. Build what you want to build, Danny Hurley. We'll give you your money and build what you want to build.
$11 million a year. They're going to have to match that at UConn, right?
I mean, you would think they would, but does UConn have that money?
I believe that they said the reports coming out yesterday where they're going to start at $11 million. I don't think UConn could even match 11. I mean, they don't have a football program, do they?
That's a good question.
I don't think they have a football program.
I don't believe.
A university that big without a football program?
I don't think they do. I could be wrong. They used to not, at least. I don't think they do. So,
wow.
I don't know. Unless somebody comes in, just some millionaire up there. I don't know any millionaires in Connecticut, but unless they can get like a millionaire to give them all the money, I don't know if they can afford $11 million. I mean, what's he getting paid now? Three,
something like that.
You're looking at $8, $9, $10, possibly even $10 million
more than
what you're making right now a year.
And think about this: not only do you make $10 million a year at Kentucky, you're famous worldwide. You are famous. You can win, like I said, 20 national championships at UConn. You come to Kentucky, you're mainstream. You're going to be on every major platform, every channel, CBS, ESPN, primetime. You're at Kentucky. You're not at UConn anymore. And yes, UConn is a blue blood. I'm not undermining them, but Kentucky is just different. It is what it is. Just for the sake of time, we'll have to move on to your next choice. You said Brad Stevens. I think he's pretty comfortable as the executive at the Boston Celtics. He's not been a coach in college basketball for a while. He's been out of that environment. What makes you think he would come to Kentucky and be a good college basketball coach still today?
You know, that's my most unrealistic one, and I'm just saying that because I'm still picking up the phone. He has to tell me no. I'm still going to pick up the phone and tell Brad Stevens, hey, Brad Stevens, I think he's making somewhere around $5 million a year in Boston. I'm still going to call him and say, hey, I've got $10, $11 million annually waiting on you here in Lexington. What do you need? What do you want? We would love to have you here. Like I said, he's the most unrealistic ones of my picks. Don't think Brad Stevens is coming. Nobody get your hopes up. I don't even think Mitch is calling Brad Stevens, to be completely honest. So,
right, I don't either.
I think that's mine. That's who I would be calling. I don't think Mitch is calling Brad Stevens.
And then third, you said Billy Donovan, which I would assume he's on Chad's list and my list too. I like the Billy Donovan option. Again, he's been out of the college environment as well, but he is a proven winner, back-to-back national champion, was always making appearances in the Final Four. He knows basketball. He's a basketball junkie. He's got Kentucky ties. That was his first assistant coaching job in college basketball. He would be a good fit for Kentucky. I like that option in Billy Donovan.
Yeah, he was number two on my list as well, Billy Donovan. But the thing with him is he's been out of the game for, what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
College basketball as a whole has changed so much. So you got to kind of worry if he can adapt to that, which I think that he could. You're not going to – the only downfall of bringing these guys in from the NBA as opposed to another college basketball coach is you're not going to get the recruit – you're not going to get those transfers that you – and it's not a huge deal, but if you're taking a guy like Hurley, you could probably get some guys from Connecticut to come here. If you have somebody like Billy Donovan or Brad Stevens, like, you don't have those guys that you can bring into the team. And at this point, it's huge to Kentucky because we have nobody on the roster. So I think that – and that's not a deal breaker at all. If Donovan said that he would come, I would love it in a heartbeat, and we'd all get excited, and we'd probably run through a wall. But I don't think the timing is right. I mean, the Bulls are still in a playoff spot, and we wouldn't know if they would go further until a week or so. And like I said just a second ago, we need a roster. We have to have this thing. It doesn't have to be rushed, but it has to be soon. And if we were trying to go after Donovan, then I don't think that would be within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Anything to add about Billy Donovan, Jordan?
Nothing. I mean, nothing really other. I mean, Chad hit it, everything pretty good. We need a coach, and we need a coach soon. We need a coach before the week's
over.
That's
the thing, yeah. He's in the playoffs, potentially going further in there. Yeah, it's timing is everything. Okay, so, Chad, we'll get to your top three. If we've already mentioned the coach, we won't elaborate, but I'm curious to still hear who your top three would be. For in order, if you were the AD, who would be your first phone
call? Is this my list as of now or Monday night? Because it's changed, because we've had a couple of guys say no. But you want to say my list from... because two of them are already on the list.
Well, we don't really know what's true and what's not. I mean, Jay Wright has said no.
Yeah, well, my other one was going to be Nate Oates.
He's not coming.
He's not coming.
Okay.
So,
he did make a statement himself and say he wasn't coming. I haven't heard Billy Donovan say anything. So if it's not been an official statement from that person, yeah, they're still in the
running. I think Donovan has not – he's kind of like – he's like beat around the bush a little bit, but he's not giving us a no.
No.
But, okay, so we'll say one, Hurley, two, Donovan, and three. I guess I have to include him only because, as of right now, I think he's probably the favorite to be the coach, and it would be Scott Drew. That doesn't move the needle for me if we do get him, but there is some, you know, there would be some good aspects to getting a coach like him as well. I guess I have to include him on my list. But before my list changed, Oates was on my list. So
yeah.
I'll throw in Drew as a substitute.
I do not want Scott Drew. I think he would be a horrific hire for the University of Kentucky, an atrocious hire. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about Kenny Payne going to Louisville. I said that would be a terrible hire, and we've seen what happened there. I don't think that Scott Drew is Kenny Payne. However, I think he's a good coach, but I think in order to be the head coach at Kentucky, you need to check off every box. And Scott Drew doesn't do that. As far as being a coach, I'm sure he's great, but he doesn't have any personality. He doesn't have that charisma. I don't know if he could handle the fans, and I just can't imagine on Big Blue Nation Night. What's that night called? Big Blue Night?
Big Blue Madness.
Yes, I couldn't imagine him getting the fans riled up. Hi guys, I'm Scott. I just can't see it.
My thing with Scott Drew is, you know, like Chad hit it, it's you own the state. You don't own the town. You have, as a Kentucky head basketball coach, you have more power than the governor of the state of Kentucky. I mean, and does Scott Drew really have that personality to where he can reach out and, you know, it's not Waco, Texas anymore. And I think Scott Drew is a great X's and O coach. You know, but he's a good recruiter. He's won a national championship. He's had several great teams at Baylor, but he's also had a lot of first weekend losses. He's had a lot of years where he didn't make the tournament. You know, he did take a terrible, terrible, terrible Baylor program in 2005 and make them into a very, you know, into a constant top 25 team every single year. You know, but they've been in 10 NCAA tournaments in a row. He's not missing the tournament, but can he do, you know, I think he's going to have more resources at Kentucky. He's going to bring in recruits. He's going to bring in transfers. But I think it's the spotlight of the actual Kentucky job that people aren't thinking of. That I just don't think Scott Drew's going to be able to adapt himself to be what this fan base expects out of a coach. John Calipari was that in 2009 when he was hired. He was very vocal. He's loud. He wants to be there. He wants to be around the state. He was a politician. That's what made him so good for this job. Same with Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino wanted to be loud. He wanted to be heard. He was everywhere. You know, he was a good fit for the Kentucky job. I just don't see Scott Drew having that in him to be able, you know, I think we'll end up having to run him out of town after a couple of years, and I don't want that. And I don't want to see him come here and ruin his career. And it's nothing against him. I just don't think it's his personality to be able to be in the spotlight of Kentucky, because there's no other spotlight anywhere in the nation like there is here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he has 3 years to prove himself, or we read him out.
I think that if this was after, say, today we got rid of Gillespie and we were, or I guess in trying to find a spot, Scott Drew would be, I'm going to get that name mixed up so many times. I can't
Drew
remember.
Scott,
this.
Which Drew, is an Drew actual Scott person, because I did the same thing.
But if this was, you know, if we were getting a coach after Gillespie, I can understand, but kind of fill the shoes of John Calipari is going to be tough, and the expectations are going to be so high. And I like one of you mentioned, it's just the personality. Like, he's just a dry, you know, seems to be a quiet type of guy, and I just don't know if that'll work. But it's just something that, I mean, we're obviously going through change here, and maybe that's something that we need, is somebody to come in and not to be as vocal as Cal and always in the spotlight. But because I think that he could succeed here, definitely, no doubt about it. I mean, he had this within the 15 years that Cal was here at Kentucky. Scott Drew, he had a 71% winning percentage. He had a national title, 3 Elite 8s. He missed the tournament 3 times, so one more than Cal. So if you, on paper, it's not that bad. And I don't even think it's a drop-off. It's the other aspects of him, like getting out in the state and getting around fans and being, like Jordan said, that politician. And I just – we're not going to get that from him.
Being that guy. And I think if you do not check off every single box that is required for this job, you're doing the university, you're doing the fans, you're doing the program a disservice. Now, I haven't got to my list. It's going to be quick because it's pretty similar. Obviously, I think my first call would be Donovan, make him tell me no. Then I'm going to go to Dan Hurley. And then third, which it seems like this is going to be the guy I would probably call next, and probably the guy that should be here because I don't think the first two is happening, and that is Bruce Pearl. I think that he can check off all of the boxes. Listen at what he's done. Bruce Pearl, he has went – the schools that he goes to, he makes impacts. He went to the Tennessee, and he had them rocking and a-rolling. He had them mainstream. He had them as a top-level basketball program, took them to their first Elite Eight, and then he went to Auburn, a place that doesn't care about basketball, a place that was all about their football, a place that could barely fill that arena. Now he's went to Auburn, went to a Final Four with them. If you watch them on TV, they look like they're one of the best fan bases in college basketball. That's crazy to me. He did that at Auburn. Look at what he does with the resources that he has. He would check off the boxes not only as an X's and O's coach, but his energy, his charisma, his personality. He is Cal. Again, people would be excited for his postgame show, excited at Big Blue Madness. He's a star. We need a star at Kentucky. We need some name recognition. We need branding. He would be. He's famous. Scott Drew's not. Bruce Pearl, he's just the guy. That would be my only different name than what you guys had. So what do you think about Bruce Pearl possibly being a replacement for Cal?
I love the Pearl pick. You know, I did not include him in my top three, but I think, you know, from the actual media aspect of it and what the fan base wants to see in a coach at Kentucky and somebody that, you know, can put themselves out there and actually compete and make themselves the coach that Kentucky wants would be, you know, either A, Danny Hurley, or Bruce Pearl. Like you said, he's got the enthusiasm, he's got the drive, and he's got, you know, he's known as a winner. He doesn't have a national championship, but he's also not been, you know, Tennessee's not a basketball school. Auburn's, they're not a basketball school. Kentucky, you know, you're gonna get your resources, you're gonna get better players, and you're gonna win more when you get here.
Is there something going on with Bruce as to why he's not really been mentioned as a replacement?
I think it's because he has some baggage.
I'd say it's Mitch, yeah. Not Bruce.
You know how Mitch is. He has his morals, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but Bruce does have a little bit of baggage, and I don't think Barnhart wants to deal with any of that. And I think that's why he's going after the guys that have a little bit or a clean slate. And I think that's the only reason that's holding him back from reaching out to Pearl.
He would wear a big bright blue jacket when we played Arkansas. He's exactly who we need. But yes, I promise you guys, there was a Final Four this past weekend, and we're going to talk about that on our next segment coming up after these words. Stick with us. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, the March Madness series. This is the post-championship show. I am Adam Banks, joined by my OTC sports panel, Jordan Knatzer and Chad Rainwater. The Final Four was this past weekend. Let's talk about it. UConn and Alabama, 86-72 was the final score in that one. UConn obviously defeated Alabama. They were tested, though, unlike any other game that the Huskies had to go up against. Alabama gave them a good game. Most of the games that the Huskies had in March was blowouts, but UConn, they kept their composure, and they ended up winning the game. I thought it was a good performance by both squads.
Yeah, and Alabama played great this game. They were only down by, I think, four at halftime. Played as well as they could have, but UConn was just a machine. That was their 11th straight NCAA tournament win by at least 13 points. And, I mean, Alabama had a heck of a run. They were definitely a team that I didn't expect to get in the Final Four. But UConn just – they were just too tough. You know, they had five guys in this game go for double digits scoring-wise. And they just – it was just their year. They just ran away with it at the end. I mean, I think it was back and forth there for a little bit in the second half. And then UConn obviously ran away with it by 14 points. But yeah, that was kind of what we all expected, I think. But, yeah.
Nate Oates making himself more money off of that Final Four because obviously he's going to be a hot name for openings. Alabama was quick to renew his contract and give him a big raise. Did you get a chance to watch that game, Jordan?
I watched a little bit of both of the Final Four games. I watched up to the point where Alabama just kind of, you know, you go a little bit cold. UConn shows their talent level and just kind of takes off on Alabama a little bit. And then the Purdue, NC State, you know, I just didn't think it was that much. So I struggled with the Final Four, but I did watch all of the championship game.
Oh, you did, yeah. Now, NC State Purdue, 63-50. It was definitely DJ Burns versus Zach Edey in that one. Two great college players.
Well, Zach Edey just made DJ Burns. You know, I was cheering for DJ Burns. You know, a great player to watch. You know, fun player, but 8 points, one rebound, four assists. He couldn't do anything with Zach Edey.
Zach Edey is dominant. He's 7 foot. Is he 7 foot four?
I think he's 7 foot 13.
Seven four.
Huge.
Good God, man! And he's Asian, right?
He's from Canada too. So,
Yamin. Yeah, man. I tell you, Zach Edey. I liked his attitude. I like his style, and and not to mention, I like DJ Burns. I mean, that was a true college basketball battle, and NC State's ran came up short. They had a very impressive year, but Purdue ended up going to the championship game to make it UConn versus Purdue, which we'll talk about after these words. Ladies and gentlemen, stick with us. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. I am Adam Banks, and this is the March Madness Series post-championship game show. I am with my OTC sports panel, Jordan Knatzer and Chad Rainwater. The championship game was this past Monday, UConn versus Purdue. UConn won their sixth national championship. UConn has solidified themselves as a blue blood program. I tell you what, UConn, I've said this before on the show, they could win 25 championships. I don't think UConn fans are going to care like Kentucky fans or Duke fans or North Carolina fans, but that still doesn't matter. When it comes to UConn being a blue blood program, six national championships. They are now tied with North Carolina for the third most national championships behind Kentucky. Duke and Indiana have five. Kansas has four. UConn, they're a powerhouse.
I mean, yeah, they're a powerhouse. But, you know, Danny Hurley still, you know, he should still come to Kentucky. You know, I think that's who they should hire. Or hold on, are we talking about the champion? Oh, yeah, we're talking. There was a championship game on Monday.
There was, I think.
You know, it's. Like you said, they're blue blood. They're a new blue blood program. UConn, in 25 years, they've won six national championships. I mean, really, you can't. That's hard to believe. That's something that doesn't happen this day and age in college athletics. And you know, they've three different coaches. They've been on a roll, and they've been unstoppable for the past 2 years. They outscored their opponents by 140 points this year in the tournament.
Yep.
And it's been outrageous. It's something you don't see. Everything they're doing right now is something you don't see. And, you know, congratulations to UConn. I have nothing against UConn. their playing level of basketball and stuff like that. It's been great. They've been fun to watch the whole season. But they just ran through the NCAA tournament, and in one of the harder years and one of the more even years I feel like we've had in a long time, and they did not slip. And, I mean, really nobody gave them a game.
Yeah, not only were they dominant this year, they also dominant in 2023. And they were they're only the two teams that have ever won six games each year by 13 points, which this year and last year. But, yeah, you know, Hurley came in with the game plan.
And very hard to do to win back-to-back national titles.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget that.
And this is and it seems like every time UConn makes it to the Final Four, well, actually, that doesn't seem like it is true. What are they, 6-0 now in the Final Fours? Like, that's just crazy. So every time they get to the Final Four, you might as well just assume that they're going to win it. Unless, you know, Hurley comes to Kentucky.
Okay. But let me ask you guys a question. I think that the top five programs in college basketball history, looking at the overall, I think we pretty much would all agree with the four: UK, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, or Kentucky, Kansas. North Carolina, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, and UCLA being four. Would we agree that they're
I'm not even putting UCLA in it anymore. I'm putting Kansas and UConn. UCLA's not been good in my lifetime.
But they're 11 national titles.
I mean, that's fine. That happened, you know. And people can say it about Kentucky, too. It's, you know, the Adolph Rupp era. That's when we won most of our championships. But Kentucky stayed relevant through you know, the Joby Hall era, the Eddie Sutton era, you know, the Rick Pitino era, the Tubby Smith era, and then the John Calipari era. UCLA has not been relevant. They've had a year or two where they've been good. I don't consider UCLA a top five blue blood program anymore. UConn has taken that spot, and UConn might be, you know, I think at this point you might be able to consider them above, you know, a team possibly like Duke, because, you know, Duke's relevancy didn't start until Coach K got there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but, you know, if we're looking at the criteria, and it's hard to kind of determine who's the top 10 when you don't have a criteria. But I think that when you're thinking of college basketball, historically, you're just thinking of the teams of college basketball. I don't think you could ever replace North Carolina, Kentucky, Duke in no particular order there. I think those teams are Kentucky basketball. But that's why I love having these conversations. UConn has squeezed their way in there as potentially being in that argument. Chad, do you? I know you put UConn in the top five, right?
Absolutely.
So, who is your top five college basketball programs of all time?
Of all time, see that's tough. I mean, but I mean, you can't go against, you know, national titles,
and you don't have to go in order.
So, but like, I mean, that's tough. I mean, you could have an argument for UCLA, but like Jordan said, they haven't been relevant in so many years.
Went to a Final Four.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. Yeah, they have gone to a Final Four more recently than Kentucky has. So, like, I don't know, because look at all these teams that are like UConn, who's not historically been good, but they have in the past 25 years. And so you have this younger generation who thinks UConn's so good because they've won six titles recently. But if – I mean, you would – I don't think my top five are going to change. You'd still probably have, you know, UCLA, Kentucky – Duke, North Carolina, Kansas. Is that five?
That's four? Five.
I guess you would stick that. But like you said, UConn is slowly trying to make their way.
So they haven't broke your top five yet?
Well, I would. I mean, I'm a UK fan, but like, I would. Maybe you slide UK up and slide UCLA out and put UConn in.
Yeah.
But then I just went against what I just said about titles. So I don't know. It depends on how you're looking at it. If you're counting titles, you have to go in that order. If not, then UConn, you have to find a spot for UConn. There has to be a way to fit UConn in there somehow.
Here's an interesting stat about UConn. They're the eighth different program to repeat as champions. Oklahoma State, Kentucky, UCLA, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Duke, and Florida did it previously. That's pretty good company. All great basketball schools. The tournament ratings was up, obviously, this year than they have been in the past. That means Kentucky or that means that college basketball is still thriving. Thursday and Friday, Sweet 16 games on CBS, TBS, and True TV averaged 10.3 million people, 5% up from last year. Sunday's first game between Purdue and Tennessee averaged 10.4 million. That was the highest in 5 years. And the Elite Eight game between NC State and Duke produced the largest audience on an Easter Sunday telecast on any network in 11 years. Overall, the NCAA tournament is averaging 9.4 million viewers on CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, 4% increase from last year. College basketball is alive and well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is – and it's about to get a lot more fun. You know, we've got – you have all your – you know, UConn, Danny Hurley is still a new coach there. John Shire is a new coach at Duke. Hubert Davis, is that – who's at North Carolina?
Yeah,
Hubert Davis.
Hubert Davis at North Carolina. Kentucky's getting a new coach. And then, you know, Bill Self's getting a little bit older. So it's a new age of college basketball. College basketball is definitely not dead. It's fun. It's energized. The offense is up. Teams are scoring a lot of points. The NIL opens everything up. The transfer portal's here. College basketball is about to hit a level that college basketball has never hit before, in my opinion, just with all the changes that have recently been made. I can't wait to see where it goes in the future. And I'm glad we're hitting that new era, and I hope it works out, especially for the Wildcats.
Well, folks, that pretty much wraps up the 2024 edition of the March Madness series. It's kind of crazy. It's already over. It just began, it seems, but now it's over. But man, things have definitely changed from our first episode of this year's March Madness series to the last. We started out with John Calipari as our coach, and now he's not. We don't have a coach. So next year's March Madness series is going to be very exciting. Again, I want to thank my OTC sports panel, Jory Knatzer and Chad Rainwater, for joining us this year. Before we go, I'm going to give you guys a chance to say your goodbyes for another great year. Chad, we'll start with you. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks again for having me. 10th season has been fun. I loved every minute of it. I love talking college basketball. I love getting together to talk college basketball. It makes it even funner. But yeah, I hate that this is our last show for another year. But like you said, next year's going to be super exciting. And hopefully next year we can talk about Kentucky in the post-championship show, as opposed to the last few years where we haven't gone that far at all. So we'll see. But thanks for having me again, man, and I'll see you later.
It would be nice to have one of these and talk about Kentucky going further than what they usually do. But, hey, next year, let's be hopeful. Jordan, thank you again for being on the show this year, as always.
No place I'd rather be, man. It's one of my favorite things to do every single year is to get with you guys. And, you know, we haven't talked about it. We'll have Zach back, you know, our fourth member of the panel. We'll have Zach back, you know. He'll be back from Kuwait next year. He's going to have a lot to talk about because he's missed out on this entire crazy, crazy year in Kentucky basketball and college sports as a whole. So, you know, I'm excited to get back in next year. You know, heck, maybe we can even throw a podcast in every now and then and give her thoughts, because we still do have to hire a coach. So it might be fun to talk about.
Ooh, yes, that is a great idea. And, you know, you mentioned Zach. Well, Zach, we miss you. We love you, buddy. You will be back next year on the panel. And I would have loved to have had Zach this year, especially this episode, because I would have loved to have heard what Zach...
This is where Zach masters it.
This is where Zach masters it. I know he would have been all in on Rick Pitino, and I would have loved to have heard that rant. But again, as always, thanks to all the listeners for tuning in. We love you very much. This has been Off the Cuff with Adam Banks Presents, the March Madness Series, the post-championship show. This has been, in general, the March Madness Series. We will see you next year.
In one shining moment, it's all on the line. In one shining moment, they're frozen in time. But time is short, and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone.